Following is a presentation of Grace Covenant Baptist Church, West Monroe, Louisiana.
It's specifically justification. And so, 4 is actually going to give us an illustration of righteousness. Now, I handed out the lesson today. This is the exact lesson that I have. So, I want you to have everything that I have. And so there's no secrets here. You guys are pretty sharp. And so I'm just kind of just, we're going to walk through this lesson. I do have the scripture verses on this lesson. So I both have the ESV, and then I actually teach from the Amplified because it's the louder version. And but it also adds a few more words and helps me understand some of the background of and the intent of what the richness of God's word imparts for me. So that's why I really like the Amplified. There's not one Bible that I absolutely love over the other. There's lots of translations I love, and I tend to use parallels because I need more than one to learn and to figure out what the word says. And so I always used to tell the youth that I taught, find a Bible you really love and then just dig into it, but find a Bible. All right, so in chapter 3, and obviously the other chapters, we dug into what was going on with the Roman church at the time, the Christian Romans, and Paul's writing the letter. He's not there, but he's writing this letter, and he really deals with justification by faith. And so I asked the question, what's justification? Now, I answer it. So by the way, any question I ask, I will tend to answer, but I'd love to hear, what's justification to you? And that's a question. So the way I operate is I hate just to stay here. I move around the class. I do that. Do I take this with me? Okay. All right. So what's justification? I have it right here. So, by the way, life is an open book test. It really is, right? I mean, we have the Bible. It's an open book. So steal shamelessly from here the Bible, anywhere you can get it from. Your neighbor, you can ask Barry. He might have the answer. He might be totally wrong. Then we can blame Barry. That's okay. But what is justification? Taking away sins that they never happened. All right, so it never happened. Excellent, excellent. That is really true, isn't it? That's really true. In fact, if you look at the thing here, it says, hey, it's very, very important. It's going to be important to Paul's letter to the Jews because they were having a hard time with justification. There were reasons why. And by some of those reasons why are still valid today. And so being justified is more than pardoned. If you're pardoned, you're still guilty, but you're kind of let off. But justification is totally different. You know, I like to say it's getting in right standing with God. But it's also, you know, God is just. He will by no means clear the guilty. He's a just God. He's a judge, right? He'll judge everyone at the end there. But he's also the justifier. He's the only one that can make the unjust truly just. And a way to do that, and as you were going to, it's an acquittal. You were never guilty. Even though we're still guilty, we're covered. He pays the price. And so it's truly, we're in a right standing to God because not of what we've done or not done, it's because of somebody else. It's because of Jesus. And so, but even God the Father acquits. He acquits. So it's kind of cool. I like this fourth bullet, being declared righteous and having the righteousness of Christ, not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and our sins imputed to him. Where did our sins get imputed to him? The cross, right. So and he took that on. And he took that on and he became, there's a cool verse in 2 Corinthians 13, where he talks about, I think it's 4. We'll get to it, but I think I haven't written it down, but I saw it this morning. I was doing some things. where he becomes weak and takes on the things that we need to do so we could become strong. And the inverse is true. We take our weaknesses and we can only become strong through him now. And so that's really a cool thing. But it's not anything we do, it's everything he does. But, you know, that's a tough thing for the Jews, and we're going to talk about that, what makes it really tough. So the works try to become righteousness, but they're not, right? Not becoming righteous. We can't become righteous by works, but being counted or credited, it's a wonderful accounting term, being credited as righteousness, even though we're still sinners. And so we know all this, but, you know, Paul is sharing this, a whole idea with the Jews, and back then it's a little bit tough. It still is today for a lot of people. We'll get into that too. All of this is by faith alone, and of course we saw that in the chapters leading up to verse 4. And again, verse 4 is an illustration of by faith alone, using two of the beloved heroes characters of the Bible. It's going to use Abraham and David as an example, and he'll use that because they were well known. They were like heroes to them. We'll talk about that in a minute. All right, so in the fourth chapter of Romans, Paul uses an example. Again, we just talked about that. Here's the thing that's really cool. It's very hard for some of these people, these Jews, to buy off, to accept, to, we would say, believe or trust in this idea of justification. And so what I want to do is give you some background of the Jewish people at that point to share with you that why it was so hard. And by the way, as we go through some of those, we'll have to ask ourselves the question, are there people today, maybe people we know, even maybe us, that we struggle with some of those same things? We tend to think the people in the Bible back then, they were a little bit not as smart as we are today with all of our technology. Gosh darn, they were probably smarter. They really were. You know. No, they weren't faster. We have all the information, but what do we do with it? Right? So, all right, so here's the Jewish mentality. You know, first, as you see, that the Jews glorified in genealogy. And Rusty, you touched on that a couple weeks ago, that, hey, it was really important that their lineage be recorded and documented because it maintained that they were the Jews ready for the Messiah arrival, right? And so I wanted to be counted as one of those for the Messiah. And, of course, he did arrive, and they missed it. You know, they missed that email, right? It was on eBay. It was delivered to Amazon. They missed it. And, you know, now they're still doing it. But that's why you get this whole genealogy in Matthew, because they want to make sure they are accounted for. Right? But they carried it too far. Right? They maintained this self-righteousness, you know, on an attitude of their bloodline. Hi, guys. There's a lesson there for you. Just tap it. So it's all about the bloodline. And so if you maintain your righteousness on the bloodline, your family, you know, sometimes then that family, well, I'm from the Trumps, I'm from the Vanderbilts, I'm from this. You can get self-righteous from that, you know, from that being I'm from this, I'm from ULM. You know, by the way, there's just like works, there's no boasting being from ULM. All right. So they were big in genealogy, and that kind of put that self-righteousness. Not only that, but they also were glorified in the human spirit. There was a trust in self, reliance on accomplishment. To share with you an example of that, I pulled a scripture out. It's Luke 18, 9 through 14. And it says, hey, and this is, you know this story, but it's just worth repeating here. So again, the human spirit, the Pharisee and the tax collector, right? Oh, this is great. Both people we don't really like today, right? So here we go. So he says, hey, he also told this parable, that's Jesus, right, to some people who trusted in themselves and were confident that they were righteous, posing outward as upright and right standing with God, and who viewed others with contempt. So verse 10, it says, two men went up unto the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector, and the righteous stood ostentation. What is that word? Ostentation? What is that? Yeah. Prideful. Is that like prideful? Yeah, we should use prideful. I can't say it Sunday, yeah. But they were really, they stood, I'm everything. I'm great. I'm from Alabama, right? And began praying to himself in a self-righteous way, right? Saying, God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of the men, swindlers, unjust, dishonest, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here, or I would say the back row Baptist. I'm not like those back row Baptists, right? No, I fast twice a week. I pray and tithe and get all. What is that? What's he listing there? I. What is that? Works, his accomplishments, the things that he did, right? But the tax collector, standing at a distance, would not even raise his eyes toward heaven, but was shrinking, striking his chest in humility and repentance. That's what they did back then, right? Then they tore clothes. They went through a lot of clothes. I don't know, if we were today and we had to tear clothes up, I'd be going through. I couldn't afford to go to the mall. I'd have to go somewhere else because I'd be tearing my clothes up and getting dirty. I guess like rugby players.
Well, that's why you wear your old clothes.
Oh. moving on. Never trust those back row Baptists. He said, so the tax collector says, God, be merciful and gracious to me, especially the wicked sinner that I am. I tell you that this man, this is what Jesus says, went home justified, right standing to God, rather than the other man. For everyone who exalts himself will be right. Everyone who exalts himself will be humble, but he who humbles himself or becomes weak to strong. You become weak, and you take your weaknesses to Jesus, and you're strong, right? You see it over again. Whoever becomes humble, right, will be exalted. So Paul says, hey, they were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were seeking to establish their own righteousness. Now, this happens today, so there's a question. How do people today try to establish their own righteousness? Now, these are easy questions, right? I don't do any hard ones because I can't answer them. So Sunday morning, these are real easy. But that happens today. It's not, we tend to read these stories about the Jews and say, hey, well, my gosh, I can't believe they did that. Bunch of, come on, we do it. We still do it too. So it's very valid today. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in there, right? So how do people establish their own righteousness today? How do they? Good works, right? If I do this, if I donate this, if I, the things I do, just, it's called the Nike thing, just do it. You know, I don't have to become anything. I can just do it, and it'll be great. I'll give this giant endowment, and I'm okay. Even though I'm a rotten filth sinner, I'm good. Yeah. You know, and that's a great example of what we're talking about today. That's self. By the way, we'll see in a minute, that doesn't fit anything that God has, completely nothing that God has. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is a way of death. That's the way of how we work it out. But God's ways aren't what? Our ways. And so where do we learn God's ways? In the scriptures. Yeah, so let's keep digging in. All right, so I gave you some other verses for this. Yeah, for all we become like one who is ceremonial unclean, like a leper. All of our deeds of righteousness are what? Yeah, and so for us to try to do it ourselves, everything that we do, just do it. God goes, eh, especially if we do it ourselves. If we're not allowing God to do it through us, if it's just us, all of our trying to work, the works are as filthy rags, right? They decay like a leaf. Well, that's not true. Romans 3:10 says there is, well, wait a minute, if I'm good and everything, I'll be righteous. But Romans 3:10 says no. What does it say? None. What do you mean none? What about the Jews? Righteous? No. What about the Gentiles, the dogs? That's us. What about us? No? Not even the dogs? Oh, my gosh. None righteous. Not even people from Alabama are righteous. There you go. All right? For he will pray. Job 33:26 was a cool one. He will pray to God, and he shall be favorable to him, so that he looks at his face with joy. And here it goes. For God, what? Restores a man his. God restores a man capital H. So whose righteousness is it? God's, not ours. Because our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. It ain't nothing. In fact, once we start puffing up like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, right? Or a giant tire inner tube, God says, what does he say about that righteousness? Does he count that or is it no? He says none. 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 Because you're guilty. You can't do it. All right. So the Jews not only glorified genealogy and self, but they were hung up on circumcision. They were, I mean, big time. Just like sometimes we are hung up on some ceremonial things or something. They were hung up on being circumcised. Even after Christ's death, it says certain men came down from Judah and taught the brethren, that's Christians for you and me, right, saying unless they are circumcised, according to Moses, you cannot be saved. Bunch of hoo-ha, right? Well, what does Christ do, by the way? What does he circumcise? We still get circumcised, but what does he circumcise? The heart, yeah, the heart. Yeah, Paul had to tell him, hey, and I love this, and I'll just read this. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is that circumcised which is outward to the flesh, but he is now a Jew, right, who's inwardly circumcised, is that of the heart, in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is. So what's Paul saying here? What's Paul saying about circumcised? Yeah. Right. So outward things attaches to us, what we do a lot of times. Because I can do something outwardly, and even like the rest of you back row people, I can actually still be kind of lousy inside. Right? And I'm going to pick on the front row in a minute, right? So just you know. But I also included myself. I have been known to do some right nice things on the outside. But on the inside, I ain't any good. I'm not any good. We all put a mask on as some things, even if we're hurting. Christians are the best people, most of them, not all of them. When they're hurting, they'll put a mask on. Gosh, maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we should share. But if the people that we're sharing aren't loving, maybe we should find people who do love us. So a lot of times we want to share, but we don't want to be rejected, or we feel that they won't care. Well, that's why we have to become Christ-like, to care for each other. Yeah. Yeah. So. Anyways, all right, so we're moving on here. So they were glorified not only in circumcision, but the Jews were big in their law, and we already know this, right? They weren't willing. I mean, they really weren't willing to part, or I would say what you said, to trust in something other than the law. They were just big on that, okay, in their practice.
Now that was integral to their identity.
Yeah.
They had a very oral, very law of God, mm-hmm. the commandments, the law of Moses given to them, which separated them from all the other pagans mm-hmm. in the area throughout antiquity. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You get a bunch of guys together, you introduce yourself to somebody new that you've never met before, and you'll say, hey, what's your name? Or I'm so-and-so, and we'll exchange names. And within about 2 minutes of that meeting, you're going to find out what that other person does for a living, mm-hmm. because that's how guys identify themselves. So the Jews were very similar to that, their identity was in the law. So that's why they were so insistent upon keeping the law of Moses. One of the reasons.
Yeah, one of the reasons. The law is like at the time, that's kind of like what the will of God was, right? It's the heart of God, and it's based on love, and it's based on a lot of things, but it's tough to keep, right? Why was it tough to keep back then? Why is it tough to keep? Why is it, if we had the law today, why was it tough to keep? Because what do we do? What do we do? All have what? We've all fallen short, right? All falling short. Hey, not only that, but they glorify their traditions. We do too. Our traditions, they had different things, human-made things. We also have human-made things, and we create these things called denominations. And they're not necessarily based on the Bible. They're based on, a lot of times, just cultural preferences, the colors of green. I mean, how many fights have I seen because of the inside of a church? On the what colors were the pews? What colors were the stained glass windows? I mean, it's crazy, right? And so when I went to seminary, our last class, they held up this book. It was about yay thick, and they go, we are one body of Christ in here, so if you talk denominations, you'll be told, sit down, denomination. Because the last class, we'll talk about the slice and dice and Vegematic of what people have done, all right? But and that's exactly how they did it. If it wasn't from the Bible, they would say, sit down, denomination. You just had to shut up and sit down. And what happened was we all ended up loving the Bible, loving the Word of God, and loving each other. And so it's really cool. Not only they glorified in traditions, but they also glorified, they glorified themselves in some of the famous people of the day, the heroes of the faith. We would go to Hebrews and say, hey, these are the heroes of faith. But I'm asking you, are there modern-day churches that glorify heroes? There are. So I just wanted to, I added those things. I wanted to go through here so you wouldn't beat up on the Jews so much, you know, how hard it is, but it's the same today. I mean, it really is. Who are some of the people that tend to get glorified? I'm putting you on the spot now. Right, so much so. Are you a Calvinist? I don't know. I'm a vegetarian. Does that count? Right? Yeah. No, I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to be Christ-like, not Calvin-like. By the way, he was a lawyer, wasn't he? I don't want to be a lawyer. Oh, my gosh. Catholic lawyer, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of our younger folks, Matt Chandler, Frank Chan.
Younger people, our age people. Right. We have people that we grew up with in our Christian life that sometimes we puff up, right? It's okay to enjoy them, but never take them. Just because they said it doesn't mean it's right. You got to go to the Bible, right? And so I just wanted to share with you, don't beat up on these poor Jews that Paul's trying to convert. We have the same things today. There's no different. By the way, the end is not to glorify anybody except God. We know that, right? Whew, through the catechism and stuff, we know that. So that's cool. Hey, let's dig in. Let's get to it. We got a half an hour to do this. Let's just dig in. We're going to go through five verses, Lord willing. If not, we'll pick them up there. All right. So these are the verses we're going to go through. I've listed more than five, but I'm just going to read five because that's what we're going to do today. All right, so starting in Romans 4:1, again, he just got done laying down this whole idea of faith alone by justification. So he says he's now going to use Abraham and David in the latter verses after 6 and 7 as living illustrations, examples of faith alone through justification. All right? By justification. So here we go. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? Which is a question. Right? What if Abraham was justified by works? What if, and that's not so, but that's how the Greek, that word if goes out. But what if isn't so? But as an example, because I know you're going to think about it, that's what he's saying there. I know you're going to think about it. So Paul's pretty sharp. You know, he says, what if Abraham was justified works? He has something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, which is a great verse. For what does the scripture say? Because now he's going to prove to them. He's actually going to give them the answer of the two questions that he's posing here. Abraham believed, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And actually, that's some from Genesis. Verse 4, now to the one who works, because you guys are all about thinking about works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. Verse 5, and the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. All right, so here we go. So Paul, again, he's going to use these five verses, and he's going to pose a question. What did Abraham learn? And he's going to go back to Genesis and share with us what he learned. And he's setting them up. He's proving the case that it wasn't by works, but it was by faith alone. And then he's actually going to go, but I know you don't believe me, so I'm going to give you some examples of works. And what does it give you? And faith alone, what does it give you? And that's what those verses are. 1, 2, and 3 set you up for that question. And 4 and 5 prove that works aren't. So that's where we're going, okay? So, Romans 4:1. So he says, hey, what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather? Humanly speaking, what are we going to say about this? Paul's calling on, what he's doing here is he's calling on the Jews to think about Abraham as one of their own, which they did because they were one of the heroes. And he wants them to come to a conclusion.
And so when Abraham tries to take charge and accomplish something apart from God, what happened? He wants them to think about that, because Abraham, one of the heroes of the Bible, did that. Right? Paul wanted Jewish readers to think about Abraham and learn from it. Now, I ask the question, why? And that's because Abraham, who a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, he did all these really great things and stuff without God. I mean, he was a good guy. Not always. Not always. And so that's why he's going to set up. What did you learn, Abraham, by all this stuff? And so you see, the Jews are having trouble accepting this justification because of all the things we just listed. And they were focused on performance. All right? You look concerned, Kenny. Okay. They were focused on performance. And performance is something other than relying on God. Performance is something other than faith alone. Right? And so they're focusing on Abraham's performance as it applies to the law, as it applies to doing good. Right? And Paul already addresses this in Romans 2 and 3. He says, you haven't performed. In fact, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Right? And so he's saying to the Jews, you haven't performed. Or he would say it this way if it was today, you're not a player. You're not a player. So Paul in Romans 4:1 is asking the Jews to consider one of their own. And he's asking it this way. When Abraham tried to take charge and accomplish something on his own, apart from God, what happened? So he's setting them up. Because he knows they're going to know the stories of Abraham. Because Abraham was one of their heroes. And he's setting them up about, hey, what happened on two occasions when Abraham lied about the relationship with Sarah? So going back in history, Abraham lied about Sarah. He didn't say that Sarah was his wife. What did he say? Sister. Why did he say that? It wouldn't kill him, right? Apparently, Abraham's wife would win Miss America. She was quite the thing. He married up, right? So good for him. So when he depended on his own ingenuity and performance, for a good reason, but when he tried to work it on his own, he got into trouble. And I asked myself, well, is that the same today? Do I do the same thing? And the answer is, yeah. When I try to figure it out on my own, I get into trouble because I figure it out on this level, right? But God's ways aren't our ways. He wants me to give him the issues, give him the problems through prayer. And so let God... trust in God alone, right, for that. He'll come up with the answers. And it won't be anything the way I work it out. It won't, right? It just never is. And it's better because he knows all that stuff. But that takes faith alone, right? That takes trust. I wrote down here in Proverbs, again, there's a way it seems right unto a man. And so I looked at it this way. I wrote down, what did you learn, grasshopper Abraham? And the reason I used the word grasshopper Abraham was, do you remember when the nation of Israel, right, they left Egypt and they started to taking the promised land, and so they send out spies, which is kind of funny. Why don't you just take it? Why don't you just guts? But they send out spies to go look, and then they come back, and what did they say about some of the big tall people? We are like what? We are like grasshoppers. And so it's okay for me to say Abraham grasshopper. Because we are like grasshoppers to some of these big people. By the way, there's also another, and that's in Numbers 13:33. Isaiah 40:22 also has a grasshopper reference. So it's not just that one, but just for fun, God looks down and we look like grasshoppers. And then he provides this heavens, this tent for us to live in. So we are sometimes like grasshoppers, and sometimes I feel that way. So, all right, so in Romans 2, he begins to, and 3, he begins to answer this about what, you know, Abraham thing. And he says, for if Abraham was justified, and I'm reading down below in the Amplified, because then again, that's the louder version, it has more things for me to understand. For if Abraham was justified, that is, acquitted from the guilt of his sins by the works of those things he did that were good, he has something to boast about. but not before God. You have nothing to boast before God. Verse 3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed, trusted, relied on God, and it was credited to him, his account, his righteousness. So here's the deal. Go back to 2. If. The word if again. This is not what happened, but he poses this because the Jews are thinking this. And he says, hey, if Abraham didn't do it by his ingenuity and performance, then he didn't earn righteousness, relied on himself. Therefore, he can't boast of God. You can't, right? When you try to do it yourself, what happens? You mess up. Now, if you pull something off, because we don't screw up all the time, you pull something off, yeah, look what I did. You can boast to men, but you can't boast to God. Because what's your standing with God? For all have what? Sinned and comes. How many people are righteous? None, right? None, right? We're not in good standing. So, we got to get right. So we can't boast about works because our works are as filthy rags. All of us, it's always going to fall short. So in Romans 3, he says this. He's talking about something that's really cool. He says, what is Paul doing? He's telling the Romans in Romans 3 that Abraham didn't do it by himself, and neither can you. What's Romans 3 say again? 4:3. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed in God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So Abraham believed in God. Didn't trust in the works. Didn't do all that. He believed in God, and then it was credited in righteousness. If you go back to Genesis 15:6, this is where it comes from. In 15:6, it says, and he, this is meant Abraham, believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. The amplified is, then Abraham believed in, affirmed, trusted in, which is another word for believe. Believe in the Lord, just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in God, trust in God. Relied on, remained steadfast, steadfast, remained, even though the circumstances look ugly, still trust in God. Because sometimes circumstances can drag us down. He counted, he credited, that's an accounting term, he credited it to him as righteousness, doing right in regard to God and man, or right standing. So what did Abraham learn from verses 1, 2, and 3? What did he learn about works? What did he learn about faith alone? It says it in 3. What did Abraham learn? Yeah. To become right with God, that's faith alone. Faith apart from works. So Paul is eager to build on this. So in Romans 4, he now builds on this. He says, all right, so we stated this. What did we learn? Well, we learned that I can't boast because works aren't going to do it. I have to have faith alone. So now he's going to go back. He's going to revisit that works idea one more time and going to put a little more flesh on that, per se. That's always fun. On the bone of that whole idea. And he's really going to nail this shut. And so he does it in verse 4 and verse 5. So let's take a look at that. So now, to the one who works or labors, this is verse of Romans 4:4. To the one who works or labors, his wages are not credited as a favor or a gift, according to grace, but as an obligation, something owed or due to him. Now, watch this. So, Ken, if you go to work, you work because why? Expect to be paid. All right. So if you work and you put 40 hours in, what is owed to you? A wage, right? Yeah. And so, if we watch this is so cool. So if we work for God, if we go do works versus faith, again, we'll do works out of the fruit, but if our whole idea is to get to God through works, then we are owed something. We are owed a what? When you work, you're owed what? A wage. Well, in Scripture it says what our wages are. What are our wages?
Death.
The wages of sin, for all have sinned, right? So everyone sinned. So when we go just not have faith in God, but try to do all these works and stuff, we get paid. And what is that payment? Death. So to get in a right stand with God, that ain't going to work. Because our wages, by the way, you're trying to get something out of God, a wage, something owed by God, that ain't going to work. But people do that. But right in Scripture says, okay, let's play that out for you. Let's play that record out. Right? Kids would now go DVD or let's play that tune out on iTunes or something. Back then, we used to play those big records, right? Remember those big records? The LPs and then the 45s. You used to put that little thing in the middle, boom, it'd come down with a giant arm. And oh, it was great. The needles, they were great. Let's play that out, though. But now the wage is, if I get paid, if I do good works and all things, I get paid a wage. And my wage is death. That ain't working out. Now, I just, you know, when I was studying, I just, whoa, that's amazing. I never saw that. That's pretty cool. This is why justification by works, right, should put an end to boasting. Because everything you do comes short. In fact, so much so, it's like rags. And so you're bringing these rags, say, I want something. And no, you have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of God. You will pay you death. Spiritual. Physical, spiritual as well. Right? If you work for a justification, what you're trying to do is get God to owe you something. And he owes you death. That's why we can't boast. We shouldn't be boasting to men. We definitely should not be boasting to God. Right? Well, but Paul says Abraham didn't do this, and neither should you. But in verse 5, he says Abraham didn't do this. Watch verse 5. It's so cool. So, verse 5 says at the bottom here, but to the one who does not work, that is the one who does not try to earn his salvation by doing good, but believes and completely trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, him's capitalized, you trust in God, right? His faith is credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. I want to take you, we got 10 minutes. We are right on time, by the way. I want to take you through, I want to break this verse up in three chunks and quickly go through it, and this is like the best. Verse 5 is like just one of the best verses of all. It's so cool. The best verses of all as it applies to justification in the Bible. It is just great. So first, he says, to the one who does not work. And that's what people, we don't want people working. We want people trusting. We want people believing. And then out of that, as they co-labor with God, then the fruit is doing some things that God resources through you. I can do all things through Christ, right? If God shares with you and asks you to do it or gives you a job and does it, then he's going to resource you. If God's in it, he resources it. If you're in it, maybe not. All right, just maybe not. So he says to the one who does not work, and that's Abraham here, he says there's a portrait of justification. Justification is a verdict. It's a verdict. I am guilty. I am guilty. And God says, wait a minute. I'm a just God. I'm a righteous God. I will by no means clear the guilty. Be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect. Right? I fall short of that. Absolutely fall short of that. And so I got to believe in something other than myself because I fall short in that. And then when you believe in God, of course, we're now in the New Testament. But remember, he's using Abraham as an Old Testament. So you would say, hey, leave that New Testament stuff out. Well, you're wrong. We need New Testament stuff. But it is true. But I can't depend on myself. I have to depend on something else. I have to be justified. I have to be now in a right standing with God. But I can't do anything about it. But God can. God can. And so justification is a verdict that's delivered by God in a single moment that you trust in him. We know now Jesus, obviously, who took all of our sins, all of our weaknesses on himself. He became weak and then became strong. So we who are weak can also become strong through him, right? So Paul says it's a verdict delivered by God in a moment, not guilty, acquitted. Not guilty. Even though we're still sinners, God the Father sees our sins, or what does he see? He sees Christ. Because everything was, Christ was, he took our sins and everything was imputed onto him, right? And Paul says, this happens to the one who does not work. It happens to the one that comes by faith. And it happens just like that. Today, we would say they trust and believe in Jesus, right? Which is the Godhead, right? Second person. They trust in Jesus alone. And by the way, because Jesus paid the ultimate price for us to celestai, it is finished, it is paid for, everything's done, everything's on me. I became weak on the cross, right? I could have called down the angels and just boom, zap them. But no, I love you so much, I became weak, imputed all the sin onto me, I took care of it. Now I'm strong, I'm elevated, new life, resurrected, whole new life, so we get a whole new life. Right, and I also ascended up to heaven, have all authority in heaven and earth, which you always have, but now all authority. It's already done. Satan's already done. I mean, I don't know why it's already done, right? But we just have to have faith and trust him. So first, he does, the one who does not work, but trust in the one that can justify us. The only one that can justify the guilty is the judge, right? And he does. He justifies us through faith alone. And by the way, number two, God justifies the ungodly. The one who does not work but believes in him, God, who justifies the ungodly. So when we go, when we trust in God, are we still ungodly? Are we still a sinner? We are. But he still justifies. God so loved the world. Right? He still justifies. We're still ungodly. Or another way of saying it, do we still sin after we get, but we're still ungodly. Thank goodness, right? Because it's not our righteousness, because our righteousness is filthy. What happens, even though we're still ungodly and have just kind of ongoing righteousness, who is God the Father looking through? The Son. And so he sees his righteousness. And so we are now, because Jesus has our imputed sin and it covers us, through the blood, right? That's why the blood covers us. We are now in still good standing. That's why we're acquitted, right? I acquit you through Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is cool. I mean, it's just like the coolest thing. And so we're now in good standing, even though we're still sinners, even though I try to do good, but I don't do good, right? I try to do good, but I still don't. That's okay. Still have faith, still trust. This is justification, not sanctification. Sanctification is becoming Christ-like. And that's hard. It's hard. But we still need to become Christ-like. All right. So he says, hey, so here's the deal. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who is justified. Wow. Faith is born. We're still ungodly, but faith begins to overcome our ungodliness. Cool. We declared righteous by faith alone, even though we're still ungodly. Hey, we are on page 11, and we have 5 minutes. Man, is this great? Yeah, this is really cool. The last piece. Here we go. So faith is credited as righteousness. Wow, woo-hoo! So the last phase in verse 5 is just one of the coolest things. What he's saying is it's not Abraham's work or his love or even the fruit of faith, but it is his faith. It's your faith. It's my faith. It's Abraham's faith alone that is credited as righteousness, is credited as right standing with God. So it's not works. We already figured out it's not works because the wages we get, if it is, then we're owed something. And we're owed death because the wages of sin is death. We're all sinners. So it has to be by faith alone. So I begin to ask the question. By keeping the law Is that how it does? By keep the law? No, I mentioned that the law came 430 years later after Abraham. So it's not by keeping the law, although the law was, at that point, a really good picture of the will of God. By the way, Jesus comes and extends the law to us. He says, and extends it in a way that's even more, right? Adultery, we always usually, but even if you look at somebody, even if you lust on something, you commit adultery. Oh my gosh. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit in us and the power of God that's available to us, because we can do it through him. We still can't do it through ourselves, but as we're sanctified and as we continue to trust and rely on him and have a conversation with him, we have now a better chance of becoming more Christ-like. Again, notice I didn't use doing stuff. You got to become something before you can truly do something. That's why we talked about it. Sometimes we don't become something. We try to do something. It doesn't last long, but we might be able to pull off something, but inside we're not changed. We're not trusting God. We're trusting self. We pull that trick on us all the time. We do it. We do it to ourselves. Well, was he self-reliant on performance? No. Was Abraham reliant on circumcision? No. In fact, he even says that he was reckoned righteousness while he was still uncircumcised. What about being a cool pedigree guy? Did he say, hey, I'm like a father of this whole faith, even though it took a while? Right? You remember that? It took forever. God's time's not like our time. Yeah. Did Abraham rely on self-righteousness? No, he relied on righteousness of God, justification through faith. Right? He didn't depend on himself. He depended on God. And so I wrote this as the last thing. He heard God, he believed God, he obeyed God. And that's what we need to do. Hear God, believe him, and obey him. So when man depends upon himself instead of God, he gets into trouble every time. But when we place our faith in God and do what he says, it's counted for us as righteousness. All right, we got 1 minute. Rusty, turn to 2 Corinthians 13:4. We're going to end up with that, and he'll read that to us. 2 Corinthians 13:4. And so if we're going to depend on God alone, right, for our faith, we're going to have faith in God alone, and we want to make a bridge to Jesus this morning, because we're now in the New Testament. So this is a cool bridge. So read that. Yeah, it's you know, the ESV is kind of funky. What's wrong with you people? Here's where it says that God, Jesus, and this is so cool because you know how Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And so he experiences all the things that we experience. And so if we're going to have faith in him, I want somebody who really not only cares but has an affinity, really feels. And so he does. He became, I mean, God on the cross became weak for us, because he could have said, that's it, I'm done, moved his arm, called 1,000 angels down, but he became weak to impute all of our sins and paid for that price, right? And then he became strong, and that's what we need to do. We are weak, but through him, in him, by him, we can become strong. And so when we have faith alone, it sets us up to be more than conquerors. It does. And so we go, well, wait a minute, I need to forget the works. You can be more than conquerors through him by taking your weakness and going to him and then having him replace that with strength. That's how it's supposed to work. All right, so let's pray and be dismissed right now. All right, well, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful illustration of Abraham, for justification, getting in the right standing of God just through faith, not through works, not through trying to work something out, not through all the schemes and stuff we do every day, not through our performance. I know sometimes we beat ourselves up because we just fail. Lord, let's just keep believing in you, trusting in you, going to you every day, bringing our issues to you and asking for you to not only continue to repent and be right standing,
but for you to empower us and for you to do the things that you want us to do each and every day. Because that way, the things that we do are things in your will and not ours. And that way you can do it through us and you can bless those. Lord, help us be a blessing to others as well. Do unto others. Be a blessing. Help us be a cup of cold water to other people because you have given us so much. Lord, thank you for Romans. Lord, prepare our heart now for worship as we go and we praise and worship you because of who you are and everything that you've done for us. And we ask this in your precious holy name. Amen.